Certainly good to have my family with me today. Good to have my wife. I thought it was 42. She says 41, so I have to go along with what she says. I have her with me, my oldest daughter, LaWanda, with me as well, and some granddaughter, Cambry, with us, who have come to support us on this day. Certainly, we just thank you for being here as we try our best to share a word with you from the mighty God of heaven. It was not long ago that we had dinner at the house, and since Cambry and her mother and her father goes to a different congregation on the other side of town, they were to meet us at the house and have dinner with us. And they had their own key to come in. But when they got there, Cambry says, "Where's Papa and Nana?" And her mother explained to her that that time of service starts a little later than their time of service. And the conversation went back and forth with Cambry and her mother. And Cambry is 7, but she talks like she's 12. And the conversation kept going back and forth. Her mother finally said to Cambry, "Well, Cambry, then, why are they not here? What's your reason?" She said, "They are not here because Papa preached long." So we're going to try to hope that Papa does not preach long on today. They are here as my family, but they also are here as monitors, saying they don't want me to do too much. Y'all got time? Luke chapter 23, you know me by now. I'd like for you to repeat this verses after me. Luke 23, verses 32 through verse number 34. If we're all there. "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." We want to talk from this subject this morning on a hill called Calvary. On a hill called Calvary. From this text of Scripture, let us look into the Word of God for just a little while this morning. Calvary, a hill near the city of Jerusalem, a hill just outside the city walls of ancient Jerusalem, where the crucifixion of Jesus Christ took place according to the Word of God. Calvary was a place where our Lord and our Savior Jesus was crucified, and it was just outside the walls of Jerusalem. A place, a name from the Latin word for skull. A place, you see, where the accused, where the sinners, if you will, were put to death. Well, I'm reminded of the text of Isaiah chapter 53, where the Bible says he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was a man that when we hid him, as it were, our faces from him and despised him, and we esteemed him not. But when I drop down to verse number 7, the Bible says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, and he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people was he stricken. I just want you to know today all this happened on a hill called Calvary. In our text this morning, we find some significant events that happen on the way to Calvary. We find here that they began by slandering our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in verse number 2. Jesus Christ was falsely accused and his name was slandered among the people. Our Christ, our Jesus, the most loving man to ever walk on the face of this green earth, being falsely accused by evil men of that time and by that society. This he did for you, and he did it for me. Our Jesus, our Lord, who went about doing nothing but good. For the Bible proclaims in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Am I right about it? Let us understand here that Jesus was faultless, and without sin, and all of them actually knew that to be the case. I remember Luke 23 and verse 4, where Pilate said unto them, to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Instead of them admitting that they were wrong, they only got worse with their evilness. And some of us, even in the Lord's church, can be just like them. Just like them, and we allow the devil to get in us. Y'all can say amen if you will. He's willing and he's ready, even right this moment, to get into some of us if we will let him in. Our Christ, our Lord, he took abuse for me. He took a lick for me and he took a lick for you. They were doing all they could to convince those in the leadership or in control to find our Savior guilty. Without any facts and without any charges. For everything that brought before him was false. Herod, with his men of war, even mocked him and put him in a robe, put a crown of thorns over his head and sent him back to Pilate again. But just as they did Jesus, I want all of you to know today, when you live for the Lord, just like they mess with Jesus, they're going to mess with you. They lied on Jesus. And if you live for the Lord, somebody is going to lie on you. If you live for the Lord, they will lie on you as well. As a matter of fact, they talked about Jesus and they'll talk about you. Lord, you are going to be, Lord knows you are going to be talked about in this world if you live for the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verses number 12, while the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Even now continues in our day and time, in the world we are living in today, we are living on a crazy, mixed up world today. A world that had no care, love seemed like for nobody. You just don't know what's going to happen from one day unto another. Every morning you wake up and there's more mornings going on. Somebody been shot, stabbed, or killed somewhere every morning. Lord, know that this world needs to know Jesus. This persecution, however, that Jesus went through did not deter him from going to the cross on Calvary. Jesus Christ was innocent, although they were doing all they could to announce him guilty. Pilate said to the chief priests and to the rulers of the people, he said, you have brought this man before me as one that perverteth
the people.
And behold, I haven't examined him before you. I have found no fault in this man telling those things. Whereof or wherefore you accuse him? He is an innocent man. But the Bible said, but then on that way to Calvary, it was noted that that was a feast day. That was called the Feast of the Passover. And it was that custom that if one was incarcerated, they would let one go free. And so Pilate said, this is an occasion. We can let Jesus go free. But the people said, crucify him. Crucify him and let the robber Barabbas go free. Even at that, Jesus still taught us to love our enemies. Y'all got to say amen. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Jesus taught us a lot of things as he went on his way up to Calvary. Not only did he teach us, but Jesus showed us in the life which he lived how we ought to live before mankind of this day. Even while Jesus was hanging on the cross with one thief on the right hand and another thief on the left hand, even while he was hanging there, folk were walking by shouting accusations at Jesus, saying, you save others, won't you save yourself? But Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even then, Jesus was forgiving those who were crucifying him. On this hill called Calvary, our Savior Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. Brother Malone, I don't know if I had been hanging there on that cross and you had came by shouting accusations at me, called accusing me falsely, I would have stayed on that cross for you. I'm pretty sure I would have called my father and said, they don't appreciate me no how. Let me down on for this cross. But that's the difference between Jesus and me. He loved us beyond what we think we ought to love one another. Jesus loved us to the ultimate and stayed on that cross. Bible says in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, whoever you are, that believes in him should not perish, but you ought to have eternal life. Thank God for his love. Well, I wish I had time, but let me run on here. Jesus Christ suffered that you and I might live, that all of us might be saved on the last day. Y'all missed that. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross, on that hill called Calvary, that you and I can be saved from our sins. I don't want to stay down here. I want to go where Jesus is, where everybody loves everybody, where everybody is singing around God's throne, where everybody is praising God day and night. Because Lord knows we down here, we don't want to praise God day and night. Yeah, we'll praise him sometime in the daytime, but we don't want to praise him in the nighttime. If you don't want to praise him down here in the nighttime, you ain't, we ain't going to heaven, because up there, they're going to praise him day and night. If you ain't doing it down here, you ain't going to want to do it up there. Jesus Christ, the Bible said they spat on him. Say amen when you can. They lied on him. They talked about him. He still died on that hill for your sins and for mine. Remember the text. They took him up there to the hill called Calvary. They put him on a cross. They nailed nails. You understand what I'm saying? They nailed nails through his feet, through his left foot, through his right foot. They nailed nails through his left hand. They nailed nails through his right hand. They took him, lifted him up on that cross, took it and dropped it in a hole. And Jesus never complained. He stayed up on that cross that you and I can go to heaven one day. Thank God. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ stayed on that cross, hung there all day long on Friday, buried on Friday night, stayed in the grave all day, all morning, Saturday morning, stayed in the grave all evening on Saturday evening, stayed in the grave all night on Saturday night, but early on Sunday morning, he got up from the grave, and the Bible says God gave him power over heaven and earth. All power was given to Jesus for dying on that cross called Calvary. I'm so glad today that God's Son loves us. See, you understand how much he loves us. He loved us even while we were sinners. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and beginning at verse number 8, it said, but God, the commended love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, understand the word yet. It means while you are still in your devilment, still lying, still cursing, still misbehaving, still committing fornication, still committing adultery, he died for your sins and for mine. Am I right about it? Much more than it says in verse 9. Being not justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were sinners, past tense, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, so much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He didn't have any. He was wounded for our transgressions, for yours and for mine. Am I right about it? He was wounded for the sins which we committed, because he had no sin. Neither was God found in his mouth. He was wounded for the wrongs which we have done. Isaiah 53 and verse number 12, the Bible says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bear the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Yeah, he was hung there between two transgressors, but he hung there that we all might live. So I'm getting ready to go to my seat. Then Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, that to the church at Galatia and to us as well, who gave himself for our sins. Christ gave his life. Nobody took it. Nobody made him go. He gave his life freely that we all might live. When Jesus went out to pray and took Peter and James and John with him and said, but watch here while I go yonder and pray. And Jesus prayed that God, please remove this bitter cup, this cup of death from me, but if it's not my will, but if your will that I want to do, I want us to understand today that if we want to go to heaven, it's not our will that we got to do. We got to do the will of God. If I want to go to heaven, it's not my way. It's the way that Jesus has provided. Was it not Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man gets to the Father except but by me. Am I right about it? He gave his life. Nobody forced him to do it. He did it willingly. You see in the church. We need to learn to give ourselves to the Lord. It just looks like to me. It just looks like to me that we ought not be made to come to worship. God has been so good. God has been so good that it looks like I ought to be ready and eager to get up on Sunday morning. Get up and get ready to go serve the Lord, because he's been good to y'all week long. He took you down dangers that you didn't even see. He fed you all week long. The clothes on your back, God gave them to you. The roof over your head, he provided. Even the shoes on your feet, God gave them to you. So now I work for my knowledge. Then God gave it to you. Because he had not given you the job, you would have had the money back. Come on, with that. To buy those shoes on your feet. That just looked like to me. That you would love to come to worship. Come to Bible study. Like we ought not be made to sing. Sometimes a song will stop and say, everybody, not sing. See, I got to sing. Because God has brought me from nowhere to somewhere. Oh, I love to praise the name of Jesus. Am I right about it? Why we wanted to sing, glad to sing, because when praises go up, blessings come down. Am I right about it? If you ain't getting yours, maybe you ain't praising God like you are. When you're going through a hard time, we all gonna go through a hard time. Just understand something. When you're going through a storm, God has the power to bring you out of your storm. And sometimes we say how faithful we are. It really ain't not how faithful you are after you come out of the storm. It's how faithful you are while you're going through the storm. Because sometimes some of us, we forget about our Christianity. We start blaming God for what I'm going through. Instead of asking God, God, help me climb this mountain. Help me get across these boisterous waters. Lord, help me. Instead, we're sitting around somewhere complaining about what I'm going through, instead of getting on our knees and asking God to help me get through where I'm getting through. I got to close. Since Jesus was willing to give his life for me, surely I ought to be willing to give my life to him. And right about it. I did nothing for my salvation. Jesus did it all for me. Is that all right? It just looks like to me, as good as God has been to us. And one older sister said, we ain't never had it so good. And right about it. No, we haven't. We ain't never had it so good. See, I got a little age on me now. And I remember way back yonder, when my mother was washing clothes, and I wanted to help her wash clothes, but she was afraid to allow me to help, because when you had to wring the water out of the clothes, you had to put them through a wringer. Some young folk back there said, don't know what the world he talking about. You see, because they got spin cycle on their washing machine today. But back then, you had to take the clothes out of that water and put them in a wringer. It was wring the water out. But if you catch your hand too close, they pull your hand in the ring. Now they got it so good they can wash the clothes. They got a time and a buzz to tell them they ready. We ain't never had it so good. I'm around about it. So it looked like to me all the things that God has given to us, that we'll be willing to do all we can to do right by him. This morning, Brother Crutcher have been looking at my notes too. Even this morning, Brother Crutcher says, Brother Thomas, I go up there and hit that air conditioner. It's hot in here. Everybody's fanning. He was sweating. And he said, when it turned up, but I want you to know, sometimes, Brother Crutch, I like it when the air conditioner don't work. Because it makes my hellbound sermons more effective. Because when everybody's sitting up, all comfortable, because the air conditioning is on, they forget about how hot hell can be. So I like it sometimes. It ain't comfortable, but I like it when the air conditioner is not working just right. Everybody got a fan. Everybody seems to be so uncomfortable. That's when I remind them of the fact that if you don't live right down here, you are going straight to hell. Down there, the air conditioning man can't come by and fix the air conditioner. Down there, you can't replace the cord and air conditioner. Down there, you can't add no Freon and make it a little bit colder. Down there, Brother Crutcher can't tell Brother Thomas to turn the air down. So sometimes it's good when the air conditioning don't work just right. God, Brother Brent, I remember when there was no air conditioning. I remember when there was no fan in a window nowhere. But everybody still came to worship and praise God just the same. But now you can't get them to do it. They ride, or they live rather, in an air-conditioned house. They ride to worship in an air-conditioned car. And they come into an air-conditioned building with cushioned seats. And you still can't get them to come. Let me smile for somebody to say, amen. But James, if we don't do right, we're going to hell. Now Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He died for you and he died for me as well. I'm thankful for his grace, and I'm thankful for his mercy. Because you see, I could have been dead and gone a long time ago. Yeah, I done messed up, but thank God he gave me time to straighten up. Ain't no doubt about it. But that time ain't gonna last forever. Sooner or later, a trumpet is gonna sound. Sooner or later, there's gonna be a shout from the archangel of heaven, and time will be no more. It's gonna be over, it'll be too late to call Brother Branch. Brother Branch, I want to be baptized. Too late. It'll be too late to call. I say, I want to have a Bible study. Too late. Too late to say, I want to stand up and make a repent of my sins and make my confession that the church could pray for. Be too late. You best get it right now. Because all we have, after all, is right now. The old saying was, you're here today, gone tomorrow. Oh, they don't change that thing. You hear that thing? You hear this morning, and you're gone this morning. You don't know where death is. So all I'm doing is trying to persuade you. If you are not a Christian, you ought to become a Christian today. Yeah, you ought to become one today. Because Jesus has made the ultimate sacrifice. He's paid the debt. He's given you the gift of salvation. All you have to do is be willing to accept the free gift that he has offered. You see, all of them like gifts, especially when they're free. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just like children when it comes down to gifts. Because I remember when Cameron was little and time came out for gifts, she thought she should open every present. All of them was hers. That's how she looked at it. So we love gifts. But see, like we don't love the free gift of Jesus dying for us on the cross, that we might be saved. It's your gift. But you can deny it if you want to. That day coming, as sure as I stand here, judgment day is coming. So if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you ought to come by hearing the word of God. You've heard how Jesus suffered, bled on the cross. He was led to Calvary, died there on that cross for you, and he died for me. Do you believe that? He died for you. If you believe that with all your heart, then you need to repent of your sin. Sin means to stop doing wrong. You've been lying, stop lying. You've been stealing, stop stealing. Somebody said, well, I ain't been in nobody's store. I'm talking about them ink pens you took from work that you never took back. Stop doing it. Make that the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son. Be with me that confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We be asked the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You answer that in the affirmative. Then you be asked, are you willing to be baptized in water that your sins can be washed away? Brother Ross, I already been baptized. You can't, what would you talk? That baptism was not how you sing the salvation. I was just baptized anyway. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right. You got to be willing to go down in water, grave baptism. Have your sin washed away. Just as Ananias said to Saul, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. And if you are here, you are a member of the body of Christ. You know right from wrong. You know how you are living. Nobody knows that better than you. And I say to the members of the body of Christ, the members of the church of Christ, you know right. Sometimes we just have a problem doing it. You ought to know, you don't want to get your life right. You know that tomorrow may not never come to you. You may not see another Lord's day. So you ought to get your life right now. You ought to reconcile with God. You ought to recommit your life and not let the devil tell you what to do. Because that's what's happening. When you don't live right, the devil is telling you what to do. Because if you listen to God, you were doing what's right. Because I have folk tell me, I still love God. I said, sister, how can you tell me you love God? I ain't seen you for 246 days. Huh? She still didn't get it. I said, let me ask you this. You work during the week. You gone 5 days. You're supposed to be home on Friday night. She said, yes, sir. But this Friday, you decide you ain't coming home. You're going to stay gone the whole weekend in your hub and don't see you. You do that the next weekend. You're going to still say you ain't left God. What your husband going to say about you? Man, why your wife? She done left me. Because you been gone. She said, Brother Ross, you know what? You right about that. And she came on back to the wish. But some of us know better. We just won't do right. We need some do right Christians. That don't sound right, do it? Christians ought to be doing right anyway, but we need some do right Christians in the Lord's church. Not just wearing the name, because love is, after all, what love does. So if you're here, even if you stand in need of prayer, going through a struggle in your life, we'll pray for you and we'll pray with you that God will bless you with the need you have. But if you're not a member of the body of Christ, I urge you, I encourage you, I try to persuade you to come and obey the gospel today. You can leave here a Christian. Go on your way, rejoice, because now you're in that roll book that's written up yonder. So if you're here, why don't you all come right now? We stand and sing the song that's been given for the invitation. Won't you come today?